the material is getting more and more expensive. You've obviously got contraction for the OEMs and that, and you know, restriction in competition, and the, of course, the big one noticeable over the past 10 years is obviously Collins. So there's more and more control being exercised by fewer OEMs. Mm-hmm. That in itself is potentially an issue for the manufacturers. So I classify my manufacturers Airbus, Boeing, OEM as Safran and Collins.
Is this because of acquisitions? So companies like Collins have been buying out other smaller competitors.
Yeah, and then they apply all those principles, but not just to commercial aerospace. They apply it to military. They apply it to rotary. They apply it to corporate and executive aviation and defense also. So you find more control being under less people. How, you know, and there's been stuff written about how the manufacturers cope with that in terms of, you know, if you took a 737 where you could have a choice of Honeywell or choice of Collins, okay, there's choice. the same obviously with the with the engines. But I think what happens is from a perception of the customer is that, you know, it's a bit like, you know, the art of diplomacy is telling somebody no when, you know, they think you said yes. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, that you have got choice. So for us, you know, we will say, look, okay, Mr. Airline, you've got 50 787s in service and on order. And what do you want to do with your spare parts? Well, what can I do? Well, you can go to Boeing, you can go to Collins, and you could go to, hypothetically, just say you could go to Lufthansa. Now, all that is a perception of choice, but in reality, there isn't choice because all that stuff will go back to Collins. So what you try to do is you try to work with the manufacturers and say, look, okay, let's make, like, you know, authorized service center. You know, you can be a Mercedes-Benz authorized service center, but you might not be the Mercedes-Benz dealer. So I think that the challenge for the airline, the manufacturer, and the aftermarket and the OEM is how to actually control it, because they want to, they're investing these tens of billions in these new products and programs because, you know, it's a loss leader at the outset to be on program 777XXX. But obviously they're looking for 20, 30 year returns once in service. And that's fully understandable. But I think also, you know, some behavior is perceived to be frankly outrageous and predatory and on where it is a sole source. And I think that I would sum up by saying that you don't really mind how much it costs you to have the most amazing lunch. Whereas in Barcelona, your bully or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But you don't really care if it's 10, 100 or 1,000 euros for lunch, as long as it's perfect. The problem you find is you find this enormous escalation of price and just really bad service. And that service can take the form of reliability. You hear Tim Clark say all the time at Emirates, why am I the guinea pig for the manufacturers? You know, why can't they give me a finished product? And I think that is something that is everybody is very critical of, and how and also Airbus and Boeing tend to be very timid around how they manage those OEMs, because I think they're all kind of afraid of each other. And what happens is that the service degrades in terms of shop processing time or reliability or software upgrades and so on, and everybody's paying millions of dollars and saying, but this isn't good, it's just not good equipment and it's not good service. Again, it's fine paying $1 million for an engine accessory, but it needs to be on the wing for 5-10 years, and that's a current issue. But it's just manifests itself now with there's fewer people to complain to, there's fewer competitors, and everything's costing five times as much money.